Blog Talk Radio.
Your station is Blog Talk on your spiritual digital dial. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Senior Pastor Janice Ward of God House Deliverance Pentecostal Ministry in the Peninsula Sector of California. We have a toll-free number available for our listeners, 877-598-8654. We welcome your calls and your comments on the air. We have also implemented prayer before the start of our program. Please bow your head with me if you will. Father God, I thank you for uniting us around the spectrum on tonight, our final week in the month of February 2013. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the unity that we share and we can come together on one accord in spirit and in truth. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to see another week, God. Thank you, God, for keeping us safe and out of harm's way. Lord, I thank you for everything small and great. God, I ask you just to anoint these lips of clay, God, to give a rhema word to a hurting soul out there on tonight. Father, we would be so mindful to give your name the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, and we shall all say amen and amen. Without any further ado, we will go right on into our theme on tonight. And our theme on tonight is love without measure. And we know that there may be someone out there in our digital listening audience, maybe a single parent, maybe a single mom, a single dad. There may be a married couple. There may be a gay couple. You might be step parents. There may be someone that's adopted parents. You might be a foster parent. But as a parent, you owe love for your children and your grandchildren are in it. Now, if in an event where harm would come to your son or daughter, or even your grandson or your granddaughter, I believe that you would step up and you would bite the bullet, meaning that you would put your life on the line for your loved ones, saving the life of your child, your niece, or your nephew, or someone very dear unto your heart. You would go as far as to step out into oncoming traffic to save a life. Well, I come to let you know, friends, listeners, and you that are out there in digital land, God has shown that exact love for us. To the point of death, he went to Calvary's Hill. And I want you to know that they hung Jesus high and they spread him wide upon that old rugged cross to prove his unmeasured love for mankind and womankind. When asked what was the greatest commandment, Jesus replied, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." We see in the law of Matthew 22 and 37 through 40. But Christian believers live in a world that suffers under the influence of Satan. The conflicts that arise allow us to slip into an us slash them distinction. We falsely assume we can be selective in whom we love. John denounced this view as false and instructs his contemporaries, as well as you and me on today, that the essence of God is love. The scripture instructs us that we must love each other as well as God. Armed with this knowledge, we know that there are difficult situations in which we must love, especially if we want others to recognize us as being of God. This is demonstrated in four basic ways. Number one, love our neighbors. Number two, love for fellow believers. And three, love for our families and love for our enemies. Often we want to love God, but still want to reserve the right to reject certain brothers and sisters. But love doesn't work that way. For he who loves God must love his brother also. We look into the law of 1 John 4:21. Reads like this. The extent of God's love can be seen in the sacrifice of his own son, Jesus Christ, whom being in the form of God, though it's not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. In the law of Philippians 2:6-7, reads again like this. On the basis of such love, we as believers are encouraged to love each other. God, who is infinitely deserving, and even our enemies who may be undeserving. We also see that love was so important to Jesus that he told his disciples shortly before his arrest and crucifixion, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And by this all will know, hallelujah, that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. In the law of John 13:34-35, now John, known as the disciple whom Jesus loved dearly, and the man who recorded these words of Jesus, wrote much about love in his first letter. Several times in chapter 4, the apostle urged his fellow believers to love one another. The first law of John 4:7-11-12 reads like this. No matter what is happening in our lives, let's make Jesus' commandment and John's exhortation our mission statement. Love one another. In our analysis and finding, the Carnegie Foundation discovered that to be successful on the job, relational skills are far more important than knowledge. Its research found that only 15% of a person's success is determined by job knowledge and technical skills. We find that 85% is determined by an individual's attitude and ability to relate to other people. The scripture commands us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one to another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We read in the law of Ephesians 4:32. In fact, it tells us to love our neighbors again as we love ourselves. And a neighbor is not only someone who lives near or works next to us, but anyone we meet on life's journey, especially those in need. So having an attitude of courtesy, care and concern for others is a basic spiritual principle. It is also the most important guidelines for congenial and happy relationships. Indeed, it is even the golden key to vocational success. Our purpose for modeling a Christ-like spirit of neighborly love, though it is that we want to obey God, not just to achieve success at work, After all, our supreme vocation as believers is to embody and practice the neighbor loving character of our Lord, who measures how we've done in life and judges our success. Our God who gives reward to those who live in righteousness. Those who love God will love their neighbor. There may be someone in our listening audience that might feel that God couldn't possibly love you because of your infidelity, your secrets you have hidden down in your heart, deceit, half-told truths, and so forth. But I come to let you know, I come to enlighten your heart and encourage your mind that Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. Jesus' love have no measurements. His love is unconditionally. I come to serve you notice on tonight that God wants to embrace you in a personal relationship with Him in its purest sense. It can be applied to no one other than God. For who other than God has absolute sovereignty and power? There is no more fitting phase to glorify our Lord than how majestic, hallelujah, when we realize how majestic the name of God is. We are really saying how much we value God. When we realize how majestic the name of God is, we are saying that we realize how broad, how large, and how powerful Yahweh is. When we talk about the majestic God, we must say hallelujah to His name and thank Him for His love. For it is His majestic God that makes our very existence possible. God wants to be the one that comes and knock at the door of your heart and wait for you to open up to invite Him in and to sit down at the table and sup with Him and He with you. Perhaps you've experienced the distinction of being a privileged participant at someone's private dinner party. Your presence was requested at some affair that was by invitation only. Jesus wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants to be the one that will come and knock at the door of your heart, waiting on you to open up the door and allow Him access to come in and sup with you and you with Him. Perhaps you've experienced the distinction of being a privileged participant at someone's private dinner party. Your presence was requested at some affair that was by invitation only. The dinner party in the home of this prominent Pharisees was such an occasion. Feast and marriage supper were an important part of Jewish life. The guest list no doubt included only those with clout, class, and cash. But in this passage, Jesus demonstrated that God's divine invitation is not exclusive, but rather inclusive. In God's eyes, there are no uninvited guests. An anonymous woman surprised everyone by crashing the party. As one of the most notorious sinners in the city, she very likely wasn't warmly welcomed by the host. In fact, he was probably terribly embarrassed by her presence in his home. Most of the dignified guests probably wouldn't even look at her and must have thought among themselves, what is she doing here? But this woman came to Jesus with tears in her eyes and lavished her love on the Lord with the most valuable thing she possessed. She came with the need to be forgiven and sincerely sought the Lord's grace. And in His eyes and in His words, she found acceptance. Jesus used this incident and the telling of a parable to teach an important lesson about God's love and grace. The more we need them, the more he gives them, and the deeper our gratitude and thanksgiving will be. The woman's deep love for the Lord had grown out of her awareness of the depth of his forgiveness. The Lord extended to all an invitation to the divine dinner. We read in the law of Matthew 22 and 8 through 10, reads like this. Blessed are those who will break bread and drink wine in the kingdom of God. And though the guest list may surprise many, can you guess who's coming to dinner? Now God wants to be the host of your life. And I'm giving you an invitation tonight to invite God's love into your heart. God have a love that's unmeasured. And he is knocking at the door of your heart right now. Will you be so kind to allow him in and to sup with you and you with him? And your life will never, ever be the same. God have a love like no other known to humankind. God gave his only begotten son. We read in the book of John 3 and 16 tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And I don't know who I'm talking to out there in digital radio land on tonight, but I know that God is sending out signals to someone out there in digital radio land on tonight, that you've been searching for that peace. You have been searching for that joy. You have been searching for that contentment, but you can't seem to find it anywhere. I come to encourage you on tonight that God's love covers a multitude of sin. And there's nothing that you and I have done that God wouldn't be forgiven. You wouldn't be forgiven for. And God would then put your sins and place those sins that you have committed in the sea of forgetfulness, and to remember them anymore. We, the only person that we can find in today's society that takes our sins and our faults and hold that against us is society itself. I'm telling you, it's just like if you find people, I heard on the radio today where a guy had been wrongly accused for a murder that he didn't even commit, and he was falsely accused by a witness, and like 7 years of his life has been taken from him. Who knows? He might even be a grandfather. Who knows? He might have even lost some loved ones in that time span. Only God knows for sure. But you can rest for sure that even though he will soon be exonerated for being falsely accused, but you can rest for sure it might be erased on paper, but it has not been erased out of the minds of the people, out of the public domain. He will be a everlasting reminder of that was the man that either did the crime, or that is the man that was wrongly accused. We know that in society, man will hold our wrong against us. You can go into prison and do time and get time served, but yet those wrongdoings that you have committed will follow you for the rest of your life. But I come to serve you notice that I serve a God that do not hold our sins against us. When we come humbly before the throne of grace and we ask God to forgive us of our sins, I mean, it's a done deal. It's automatically erased. God erased those from his memory box. To remember them anymore. And I'm just inviting you on tonight to give Jesus a try. Let God lavish his love unmeasured on you. And I'll tell you, there's just no greater love than the love of God. And when you get the love of God deep down rooted within your heart and soul, it's just like a disease. It spreads. Because when God get through with you, then God lay that love on you. You in return spread that love on someone else. And it's almost like a change game, because it just goes in a link. It just goes from one person to the next, then to the next, and so on and so on. But I just wanted to just come into your presence on tonight with a rhema word from the Lord. And I just want you to just stay encouraged and know that God loves you in spite of all that you've done. Is you have done nothing that God would not forgive you for. So just a note to the wise. Give God a try and you will be glad that you did. I hope and pray that this program has been a blessing to you in your daily walk with God. And if this program have impacted your daily walk with God, infused your heart and pondered your thoughts, we are cheerfully waiting to hear from you. Until we meet again, go in God as God goes in you.
In a world like today,
bye for
it's a rare occasion
now
to be able to see young mothers like the ones that were around when I grew up. But they live on in memory to quite a few of us. And this song is dedicated to those who cherish that memory. Early one Sunday morning, breakfast was on the table. There was no time to eat. She said to me, "Boy, hurry to Sunday school, filled with a Lord of glory. We learned the whole story. She'll always have her dreams, despite the things this troubled world can bring. Oh, say, don't you know we love you, sweet Sadie? Place no one above you, sweet Sadie." Well, well, well,
living in the past,
sometimes it seems so funny. No money will turn your life around. Sweeter than cotton candy, stronger than Papa's old brandy. Always that needed smile. Once in a while, she would break down and cry. Sometimes she'd be so happy being with us and Daddy, standing the worst of times, breaking the vines with just a simple song. Oh, she's always winning, yeah. My, 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 my.
Oh,